Let us be attentive.
God is wonderful among his saints. Bless God in the congregations.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians.
Let us be attentive.
Brethren, it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to the death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh, so that death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith as he who had wrote, "I believed, and so I spoke," we too believed, and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God.
Peace be with you, the reader. Wisdom, arise, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be with you all.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Let us be attentive.
At that time, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered right. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise.
Peace be with you who proclaim the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almost a century ago, President Calvin Coolidge said the famous words, "The business of America is business," which has been interpreted by some as meaning, "The business of America is busyness." And how true this is. Certainly true then, and how much more so today. We have, even here amongst our country, a very worldwide reputation for being extremely busy, on the run, and constantly on the go. Even in Kenya, the white man is so-called the one who runs around in circles. And how many of us feel exactly that? Like as if we are spinning and turning our wheels round and round, but never actually going anywhere or accomplishing anything of substance, but just running around because the society around us is also always on the run, as if we have to maintain the same insane pace. To get exactly nowhere. I know there are very real life daily pressures that push us and pressure us to always be on the fly, running around like the proverbial chicken without a head. But truth be told, we ourselves are just as guilty of putting undue pressure on ourselves, on our children, preoccupying ourselves with many unnecessary things. And this often leads to, above all, our neglect of God. 2,000 years ago, there was a holy infant born, but the people were too busy to even give him a room to stay in. The Gospel of John puts it this way. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. They were just too busy. And not much has changed since then. We are too busy for the Lord, and we crowd him out, not out of our inn, but out of our lives. Aside from the fact that God has been pushed out of almost every aspect of our world and society, why do we do the same? Are we too busy for prayer? Are we too busy for spiritual nourishment and reading? Are we too busy to go to church just once a week? Are we too busy to volunteer and give of our precious and God-given time? C.S. Lewis makes an observation that the devil captures many people
not by preventing their spiritual encounters with God, but by whispering into their ears at the right moment that they are just too busy right now. A proverb says, when Satan can't make you bad, he makes you busy. Too busy for God to have a part in our life. Even the famous psychologist Carl Jung said, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. We are too busy also for family time. I read the following commentary on this very subject. Quote, what is the biggest obstacle facing the family right now? It is overcommitment, time pressure. There is nothing that will destroy a family life more insidiously than hectic schedules and busy lives where spouses are too exhausted to communicate, too worn out to be with one another, too fatigued to talk to their kids. That frantic lifestyle is just as destructive as one involving outright sin. If Satan can't make you sin, he'll make you busy, and that's just about the same thing. End quote. And what of the needy around us? Are we too hurried, like the priest and the Levite in today's gospel, who were too busy to stop and assist a dying man? How many times have we rushed by someone who was hurting? How many times have we been on the go so much that we showed no consideration for our neighbor? How many times did we just drive on by someone looking for some change because we were late for a game or for an appointment? The Good Samaritan, who is symbolically first and foremost our Lord Jesus Christ, took the time to care for the dying person on the side of the road. Yes, we must first see in the Good Samaritan the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who put aside his everlasting glory and his divinity in order to come down to the broken, wounded human race. God made the time for us, and he continues to be attentive to our every plea and need. God makes time for us, and we need to make time for him and for his creatures. The Good Samaritan stopped everything that was going on in his personal world. His wounded neighbor became his everything. The compassionate Samaritan stopped, visited the man, bandaged his wounds, took him to an inn, paid for his stay there, and returned the following day to check in on him. Did the Samaritan know this man from Adam? Absolutely not. But in his Christ-like humaneness, his true humanness, he had mercy, love, and compassion for his fellow man, even though he was a total stranger and maybe even an enemy, since the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. So, my brothers and sisters, let us remember the exhortation of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. And in similar fashion, knowing just how precious and fleeting time is, in Colossians, St. Paul again writes, make the best possible use of your time. God has given us, and God willing will continue to give us, the time necessary to work out our salvation in this world, in this time he has given. But we know it is limited time. We absolutely must consider how we are utilizing the great gift of time from God. Today is Stewardship Sunday, and our ministry fair will take place in the Great Hall. The Church of Christ, your local parish here at St. Mary's, offers many, many blessed opportunities to serve God, to serve the local body of Christ, and to serve the people around you, both near and far. Do not squander these opportunities, because once time has passed, it is gone. Take stock of how you are using your time, your God-given time, and ask yourself, is what I'm spending my time on working for or against my eternal salvation? This early 20th century poem, I think, says it all. I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Indeed, my brothers and sisters in Christ, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. What will our eternity be? To our eternal God, the Creator of time, be the power and the glory forever. Amen.